This week on Wine Chat, we're looking at wine judging in the medal system. Have you ever noticed the little gold and silver medals on a wine label? Do you ever wonder how they got there and who's awarding them? It's me, by the way. In Australia, we have over 70 unique wine shows, all with their own panels of judges, who score wines and award these various medals. To talk about how this whole system works, we're joined by Cal Lee, as usual, at 11:15 on a Thursday morning. Cal, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries. So how does a wine win a medal? Is there like a wine Olympics that they all go through and then, you know, there's a big opening ceremony and then they have lots of little activities that they do? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's mainly decathlon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Decantathlon?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. no, so the, I guess sort of like the first thing to explain here is sort of when wines are judged, they're typically done on what we call the 100-point system. And with that, there's pretty clear delineation. So basically anything above a 95 is going to score a gold. Anything in that 85 to 95 is going to be a silver. And then you're sort of going to get your bronzes below that. And you sort of also end up with this strange effect where you kind of stuff... You can't really score below a 60. It's sort of not how the system works. But basically, the sort of when wines are being judged, you're being looked at blind by a panel of judges. And typically, you're given like the grape varietal and the year that it's from. Occasionally, you're given a price point as well, depending on what the actual bracket is. And you're tasting through all these wines and you're sort of trying to take a look at them and be like, cool, is this a good wine or is this a great wine? And that sort of tends to be the distinction between those bronze and silver medal wines, which most of the time are really quite serviceable, well-made wines, versus those sort of gold medal winners, which are sort of the exceptional and great wines that you sort of don't come across that often.
And so what are the judges looking for, and how come so many cheap bottles of wine, I say cheap in, you know, inverted commas, have so many medals?
Yeah. part of that is because like certain awards will be bracketed by pricing. It also is a thing where depending on the winery, they might see more value in entering a lot of competitions. And the more competitions you enter, the more chances you have of winning gold medals. The other thing most medals will actually tell you what show they're awarded from. And as you can imagine, there's a fair bit of difference in terms of the rigor placed on something like the Royal Sydney Wine Show versus, you know, not to dump on Cara, but like, you know, the Cara Regional Wine Show kind of thing. and just the quality of people entering is going to be pretty different. So that's also, like, I guess, my like hot tip if you're a consumer out there. Actually check what the gold medal was awarded for. We're finding but there definitely is a noticeable increase of sort of the Southeast Asian sommelier and wine associations that are giving out a lot of awards for pretty bottom shelf stuff. But when it comes to wine judging, and sort of everyone's got slightly different rubric, but generally you're looking for a color component, which is to say, like, is this wine varietally colored? Does it, you know, have like, is it cloudy? Is it hazy? Has it gone a little bit weird? Like, those all ding your points. Is the nose like intensely aromatic? Is it slightly aromatic? And are we sort of experiencing the notes we'd expect to see, given what the varietal is and what the winemaking style is? And then when we're tasting the wine, we're looking for an intensity, a length, and sort of a complexity on the palate there. And you can find tons of really awesome, like, lower-end bottles of wine that, like, they might be lacking a little bit on the complexity angle, but they definitely have the intensity and the drive that is a lot of the things that will help to really get you those high points, because they're pretty hands-on wines. You know, they've been sort of quite detailed to specifically appeal to the way that sort of judging rubric functions, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense to me. And you mentioned there's a bit of a variety of different wine judging competitions and rubrics, but do they all use the 100-point system you've been alluding to?
So this is actually kind of a funny one where I guess the short answer is no, they don't all. actually, in Australia, we used to have what was called the 20-point system, which is sort of that's a system I'm like, you know, I use when I'm at university. But sort of, and I'm sure I've talked about Robert Parker on this show before, and he's probably a figure worth doing an entire episode on. But part of like the Parkerization of the wine industry was sort of this wine reviewer in the States called Robert Parker, who always used the 100-point system and like started to score all these wines like 97, so that he's like really big, robust reds. It's part of the reason why that like super heavy style of Shiraz and Cabernet ended up being so popular in Anglophone countries was driven by this. But the problem ended up being is that if you win a wine show in Australia and you've got a 19, and then you win a wine show in the States or you're awarded like a 97, the 19 looks kind of bad.
because it's a lower number.
It's a way lower number. But even though the 19 technically is a better score than the 97, you know what I mean? And so because of that, places started to trend towards the 100-point system to sort of stay in line with the American contemporaries. And this is wine reviewers specifically. And then that sort of slowly worked its way into the wine judging system all across Australia as they wanted to sort of stay contemporaneous with what the actual wine critics were doing in the press and stuff like that. I know there are still a few shows out there using the 20-point system, but broadly, it's pretty much all 100-point systems now.
Sure. And you mentioned just briefly, you mentioned at the top that the lowest score you can absolutely get is 60. Is it because that? So why is that? Is it because if you get below 60, it's not technically a wine anymore? You're just drinking vinegar or Ribena, possibly, or just grape juice. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's part of it. Part of it, and this is sort of is one of the issues with the shift to a 100-point system is this like inflationary maneuver to really group things towards that top echelon. But like, you know, if even in the 20-point system, like if a wine scores a 10, that's basically saying it's undrinkable.
Right.
Because it sort of, because the way that basically it's more about, it's getting grades for things, right? So it's like, if you get a 10, it's like, well, yes, the wine does have a color and does have a smell and does taste like something. So you can't like give it negative points for any of those. But it doesn't smell good, look good, or taste good. Mm. So it's still going to get a 10 out of 20, but it's not going to, you know, do particularly well in any of those other regards.
It is technically a wine, so we do need to give it some points for that.
Yeah. It is liquid in a glass. So, you know, it gets 10 points for that and that alone.
10 points for existing as in the wine sphere of influence, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But this is sort of is why I think there in the consumer base there is sometimes a little bit of confusion where you'll see stuff like 85s and then like certain portions of the wine drinking community will be like, yeah, but anyone can get an 85. And it's just like, well...
Well, then what's the point of the 85?
And exactly. That ends up, like, you know, when you start considering silver medals, like passé, then the whole sort of thing starts having a lot of purpose pretty quickly. But and part of this is also because, like, no one enters wines in a competition if they think they're not going to get good scores.
Sure.
Or if they do, they don't tend to talk about their scores very much.
Yeah.
And so you sort of get this both from the judging end, sort of this sort of rising tide of just like, well, we have to give you credit for producing a liquid versus the sort of the marketing edge of it, which is like, hey, like we're not going to enter things. Like you're not going to put in a wine that is vinegar in a glass because you know it's going to perform really badly.
Yeah.
And that hurts your reputation in the industry. It's like, you know, it's professionally embarrassing and all that kind of stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's why you sort of don't see any of those lower scores there.
Sure. And I guess my last question for you, Cal, as usual, is what are you drinking this week? And as a modifier to this question, to keep with the theme of this week's episode, what would you rate it?
Oh, big question. What am I drinking? I'm going to give a shout out to the Cabernets from Renzaglia Wine, the Dorenzo Cabernets. It's made by Sam Renzaglia. who's based out sort of, we call it sort of Central Ranges, but it's like west of Katoomba, basically. And it's sort of, you know, Mudgee, Cowra, Bathurst, Orange, that kind of part of the world. It's a really fun little blend of Cab Franc, Cab Sav, and Merlot. Eagle-eared listeners might notice that I'm throwing a lot of Cab Franc on the board at the moment, because I'm drinking a lot of Cab Franc.
I have noticed that. This is another Cab Franc. Cab Franc from Cal.
it's they're really well drinking, and honestly, I think this is a screaming wine. Like, I think it shows some great varietal characteristics. I mean, God, now I'm just in a scoring rubric. But you know, I think this probably would be a gold medal wine. Like, in my opinion, I think it like shows really great typicity. It's unfined and unfiltered, so it is actually probably not going to get a gold because it would lose points in the color, which is, you know, makes you think, if a wine's good but it can't get a gold medal because it doesn't look right, you know, who's really judging
really,
it?
Really, really makes you think, right? Yeah.
Yeah. When you point a finger, you have four fingers pointing back at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. A lot to think about for the wine tasters and the wine judges out there from this one. We're getting a little bit philosophical.
Yeah, I know. So I know this is pretty deep. So I guess we'll finish it up now before we go off in uncharted territory.
Completely lose our minds. Cal, yeah, as usual, it's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'll catch you then.
Catch you then. Thanks, Cal. That was Cal's wine chat. I'm awarding that chat 84 points. It was good complexity in the middle, but the finish was a little sloppy. Anyone can get an 85, right? You listen to the Thursday Daily here on 2SCR 107.3.